initially, we thought there was going to be a cut to home health, but instead there actually ended up being about a 0.8% increase in 2024, which equated to around $140 million. Now, most places are still considering this a cut, given that there is inflation and cost of providing care in home health especially has risen in the last few years. But if we want to be technical, on paper, it's still technically an increase in payment, which is better than what we thought was originally going to happen with the cut, which sent a lot of home health agencies into a frenzy. It prompted legislation, and it even prompted the National Alliance of Home Care and Hospice, or NAHC, to sue CMS based on their calculations.
Hi, I'm Clarice Grody, and welcome to the Amplify OT podcast. I'm an occupational therapist by trade and a policy wonk by choice. This podcast is here to help you survive and thrive in the U.S. healthcare system through a better understanding of policy, advocacy, and value-based care. So, let's dive in.
Hey, OT Amplifiers, it's Clarice, and I know I am so late on recording this 2024 advocacy updates, but it just feels like there has been so much happening in the last few months that I've been trying to kind of wait for things to play out, but we're already almost done with the first quarter of the year, so let's go ahead and record these updates. Now, just so you all know, I am currently recording this podcast on Monday, March 11th. And as with any of our episodes, but especially our advocacy update episodes, things may have changed by the time you hear this episode or read the 2024 updates article. So make sure to go back to the source or follow up to see if anything has changed before you do anything, make any decisions, etc., etc. Because at times, while Congress and other policies can move exceptionally slow, they can also move exceptionally fast from time to time. Now, just quickly to set the stage, we'll kind of do a little brief Civics 101. So we are still in the 118th Congress, meaning that we did not have a new Congress at the start of this year. We have a new Congress every 2 years when the House of Representatives are reelected, because representatives serve a 2-year term. So every 2 years in the presidential and the midterm elections, we either reelect or elect an entirely new House of Representatives. So this is why things in the House tend to move so quickly, and also why we tend to see more kind of like opinion bills or statement bills. So bills that we know aren't going to pass, but that make a position clear or a statement clear, is because the reelection cycles are so fast that they have to kind of do something to be able to talk about on the campaign trail. Now on the Senate side, right, they serve 6-year terms, so only a third of the Senate is up for election every 2 years. And then, of course, we have the president, who serves 4-year terms, so every 4 years we elect or re-elect a president. So this year, being 2024, it is not only the year of Summer Olympics, but it is also a presidential election year, which is why we have primaries going on and all sorts of things. So this November, we'll be voting for a president, we'll be voting for 1/3 of the Senate, and we will be voting for all of the House of Representatives. Now, why that is also important is because every 2 years, Congress essentially starts over. We get a new Congress. So starting in January 2025, we will have the 119th Congress starting. And why that is significant when it comes to advocacy is because any pieces of legislation or bills that are not passed as part of the 118th Congress will be essentially kind of erased, and you have to start over and reintroduce that legislation in the 119th Congress. So this is part of why federal advocacy can take a while, because you have those interruptions, and it can take a few months to get bills reintroduced in the new Congress, especially if there is a changeover in power. So if it switches from Republicans to Democrats or Democrats to Republicans, that can delay introduction of bills a little bit longer because they have to kind of reshuffle committees. If the person who's sponsoring a piece of legislation doesn't get reelected, that can really delay the reintroduction of a piece of legislation because we have to find someone new to sponsor that legislation. So there's lots of different things that can kind of delay the process, which is why at times federal advocacy can feel like such a long slog of effort without a lot of progress. But all of those efforts lead to a win in the end. And so that's what's always important to remember, is if we don't get what we want on the first round or the first try, we are always still laying another stone in that stepping path towards success. And if you want to learn more about the intricacies of kind of how Medicare policy is made or how Congress works and how our federal government influences basically what you do every day, I cover that in Module 5 of Mastering OT Policy and Medicare. So I recommend checking that out. And of course, it's available in the Amplify OT membership, where there's a link in the show notes to sign up. So we're going to talk about a couple different things. We are going to both talk about some pieces of legislation that passed at the end of 2023 that are implemented either 2024, 2025. And we're also going to talk about some of the rule changes, right? Because we both have the legislative process, so things that have gone through Congress. And then we also go through a rulemaking process every single year from the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services for all the different policies. And so when you're hearing advocacy updates from AOTA, generally, they tend to be about both regulatory and legislative efforts. We tend to hear more about the legislative efforts because that's easier for members to get involved with, but there are also a lot of regulatory efforts, and oftentimes they go hand in hand. A prime example of this will be the Medicare Physician Fee Schedule, which we'll get to here a little bit towards the end because we have some exciting updates on that. So we'll just go ahead and go in the order of the article that we put up on the 2024 advocacy updates. Thank you so much to Lindsay Bright for helping me write this article and put it together. I have a ton of links in that article, so recommend clicking it. It's in the show notes for you to look at, but has a lot more information on these programs than what I'm able to provide you here in the Amplify OT podcast. So let's get started. First, we're going to start with the mental health win, which the mental health win was a legislative win where Congress passed a new intensive outpatient program for mental health as part of the Medicare benefit in the 2022 Omnibus Bill. So this bill passed at the end of 2022, and that means for 2023, it kind of went through the rulemaking period, right? So Congress told CMS to create this new program, and so CMS then went through the process of creating it. And now, as of January 1st, 2024, this is officially a new program that is being rolled out. And this program is very similar to the partial hospitalization benefit, if you're familiar with that one. Now, these services can only be provided in certain facilities. They can be provided by hospitals, by federally qualified health centers or FQHCs, or rural health clinics. So it's fairly plausible that you may not have this kind of program at your hospital, but it's worth asking just in case. The thing that is an exciting win about these programs is, one, not only does it bring access to mental health services to more individuals, especially under the Medicare program, but occupational therapy is listed as a required service if the patient needs OT. So a patient is screened when they're admitted to this program, whether that be the partial hospitalization program or this new intensive outpatient program. And if it is found that they need occupational therapy services, it is required that that program provide OT services. So just to kind of further reiterate why this is exciting is, one, it means that Congress recognizes the value of occupational therapy as a mental health provider. So we can actually use this piece of legislation or this policy to say, look, we are recognized as a qualified mental health provider on the national level in multiple different programs. And you can then use that evidence or these programs to then advocate for occupational therapy in mental health in your hospital, in your local area, or at the state level. So it's not just a win because we're included in these programs and more people will have access to the services that they need, but also because of how we can leverage these programs to create advocacy wins in other areas. And AOTA has a lot of great details on this program if you have specific questions, so I highly recommend reaching out to them. Okay, our next huge win that is related to OT is the lymphedema garment coverage under Medicare Part B. Now, you may have remembered me talking about the passage of the Lymphedema Treatment Act back in 2022. So again, we're kind of following up with that regulatory win for January 1st of 2024. So the piece of legislation passed at the end of 2022. And so it went through the rulemaking or regulatory process over 2023, and it's now being implemented here in 2024. So again, this is why it's important to pay attention early, because there's actually a lot of really interesting discussions that had to be had around how this policy would be rolled out, especially because of how it would impact occupational therapy practitioners. There are quite a few practitioners that own private practices addressing lymphedema. And what this bill did is it added lymphedema compression garments as a covered benefit under Medicare Part B for the durable medical equipment benefit coverage. But since this previously was not covered, So Medicare covered the treatment for lymphedema, so the OT services to treat and address lymphedema, but it did not cover the garments that would maintain the progress that was made during the treatment, right? I mean, it doesn't make sense. But fortunately, due to lots of advocacy, this bill finally passed. But the way this impacts practitioners is that there are lots of OT practitioners actually who would sell lymphedema garments because they were not covered. So because they weren't covered, you were then able to kind of operate in a different way around how you either referred people for the garments or selling them yourself. But now, since it is added as part of the durable medical equipment benefit or DME, it now has to be sold by a approved provider because it is now part of the DME POS fee schedule. So if you're an OT who wants to sell lymphedema garments, you would now have to register under the Medicare program as a DME provider, which is entirely separate from being just a general practitioner or owning a private practice. One of the other major issues with this policy has to do with getting paid for taking measurements for the garments. And AOTA has pointed out this problem to CMS. They are continuing to advocate for clarity, but CMS in their rules have decided that measurement for the garment itself will be reimbursed under the DME policy. So what that technically means is that unless you are the DME provider, meaning you are selling the sleeve or the compression garment, whatever it may be, you cannot technically bill for the time spent measuring in order to ensure the appropriate fit. Now, if you have provided lymphedema services, you know that often it is the OT or whoever the clinician is measuring the patient for the appropriate fit and then sending those measurements to the provider who actually sends in the actual compression garments. And basically, the way that CMS has responded thus far is to say that, well, clinicians just need to reach out to the DME provider to pay them the fair portion of the measurements, but that causes all sorts of issues, especially with anti-kickback, because theoretically, this opens then the opportunity for clinicians to negotiate a rate for the measurement, and whichever DME provider recommends the best rate or provides the best rate in reimbursement for the measurement or the referral, then the clinician's going to use that provider, which is an anti-kickback problem because you're receiving an incentive for a referral. CMS knows this is an issue. AOTA has pointed it out. And so this is a prime example where there's a policy that is essentially in violation of other laws that they already have. And so it does need to be sorted out. And if you have any particular questions and you're in this situation, honestly, I encourage you just to reach out to AOTA and utilize their resources or reach out to a lawyer. I am definitely not someone who's going to be giving you legal advice on how to proceed with that. So that is an issue. So it's exciting that coverage of lymphedema garments is now included in Medicare Part B. It's included in home health. It's also included in like the SNF benefit. So it's been integrated into the different payment policies. But obviously, there are still some kinks to work out in terms of this policy. And so just to summarize, the coverage for the lymphedema garments took effect on January 1st of 2024. Okay, this is our next kind of policy win, which is the caregiver training codes. This is not something that went through legislation. This is something that went directly through rulemaking process and through the American Medical Association, which is the development of these caregiver training codes. AOTA has been integral in advocating for the development of these codes, looking at the valuation of these codes, how much they should get reimbursed for, how much effort it takes. It's a very long and honestly complicated process applying for a CPT code. You have to go through the AMA, and we cover this in the Amplify OT membership of how a CPT code is made. It's actually pretty interesting, in my opinion. But once that code is then created and valued or assigned what's called an RVU or relative value unit, then it's up to advocating to Medicare as well as other insurers to agree to reimburse that code, right? So there are a ton of CPT codes out there or HCPCS codes, but just because it exists, one, doesn't mean that you can bill it, and two, doesn't mean it gets paid for. So the caregiver code exists, but it wasn't necessarily going to be paid for until we engage in advocacy with CMS. And fortunately, they accepted the argument that by providing services directly to the caregiver, this is therefore helping the health of the patient. What makes these codes so exciting and unique is that these are really the very first codes that we have that allows us to bill for services provided that are, one, not directly to the patient, and 2 do not have the patient present. Even for a remote therapeutic monitoring, that is still something that is a service provided directly to a specific patient. So for using the caregiver codes, you can only use them to provide caregiver education when the patient is not present. If the patient is present and you're providing caregiver training, then you would just bill for that service like you would normally under probably like a 97535 or 97530, your Therac or self-care. These codes are a bit confusing in terms of when and how to use them. There's also some confusion as to whether or not these kinds of services are now reimbursed under a PDPM, and hopefully CMS will clarify that in this upcoming rule for 2025. But AOTA has a lot of really great resources. They have a webinar that they did on the CBT codes, and so I highly recommend using those. There's also going to be a session at AOTA Inspire if I get this episode out beforehand, but there is a webinar up on AOTA about how to use these codes and how to bill them. So I highly recommend checking those out. I also have some of the information linked in the article that is in the show notes. Okay, when we get back, we'll talk about some news about the Medicare Part B cuts that you may not have heard yet, as well as some updates for home health. Today's episode is proudly sponsored by MedBridge, your go-to resource for advancing your occupational therapy career and, of course, getting those necessary CEUs. If you are passionate about staying at the forefront of our field and enhancing your skills, MedBridge is a comprehensive solution. With the MedBridge subscription, you gain access to an extensive library of high-quality live and recorded courses led by industry experts. So stay up to date with the latest advancements in occupational therapy, explore evidence-based practice, and enhance your clinical skills. One reason that I really like and recommend MedBridge is because they have both intervention-based courses and policy and reimbursement-based courses, and that is a rare find in a CEU company. But here's the best part for our OT Amplifiers community. If you use the promo code AMPLIFYOT at checkout, you'll unlock an exclusive 40% discount on your MedBridge subscription. Yes, you heard that right, 40% off with the code AMPLIFYOT, that's AMPLIFYOT. This is a fantastic opportunity to save some money, elevate your practice, and support AMPLIFYOT. So don't miss out on this chance to supercharge your professional development and head over to MedBridge.com, use the promo code AMPLIFYOT, and enjoy the benefits of MedBridge while also supporting AMPLIFYOT and all the free resources that we produce here, like this podcast. So again, head to MedBridge.com, use the code AMPLIFYOT at checkout, and we also have the link for you in the show notes. Are you ready to take your occupational therapy practice to the next level? Then look no further than the Amplify OT membership. You heard that right, Amplify OT has its very own membership program. This membership is designed to help occupational therapy practitioners just like you stay informed about the latest developments in Medicare and advocacy. You will have exclusive access to resources, webinars, the Mastering OT Policy and Medicare course, Q&A sessions, plus the ability to DM me your questions and get answers fast. But of course, that is not all. As a member, you'll be part of a community of like-minded occupational therapy practitioners who share their expertise and offer support. So by joining the Amplify OT membership, you'll be able to stay up to date on the latest Medicare regulations and guidelines, learn how to advocate for your patients and your profession, connect with other OT practitioners and students to share your knowledge, and you'll have access to those exclusive resources and webinars so you can reach your full potential as an OT provider. So don't miss out on this opportunity to take your practice to the next level. Sign up for the Amplify OT membership today by going to the link in the show notes or amplifyot.com/membership. Don't forget to stay informed and be the change that you want to see in our healthcare system. So let's get the home health one out of the way first. So initially, we thought there was going to be a cut to home health, but instead there actually ended up being about a 0.8% increase in 2024, which equated to around $140 million. Now, most places are still considering this a cut, given that there is inflation and cost of providing care in home health especially has risen in the last few years. But if we want to be technical, on paper, it's still technically an increase in payment, which is better than what we thought was originally going to happen with the cut, which sent a lot of home health agencies into a frenzy. It prompted legislation. And it even prompted the National Alliance of Home Care and Hospice, or NAHC, to sue CMS based on their calculations. Now, CMS is still planning to implement cuts that would equate to around $3 billion in estimated overpayments. And what this means is that CMS, based on their calculations, which there are plenty of arguments out there to be made that these are not necessarily the best way to calculate payment models and what was paid and what's due, but anyways, CMS estimates that they have paid too much to home health agencies under PDGM based on the amount of utilization of services provided by home health agencies, which if you look at the data across the board, utilization of therapy services and home health services in general has gone down, while the payment technically was supposed to remain mostly the same from the old PPS system to PDGM. And so based on CMS's calculations, they said they've been paying home health agencies too much, and home health agencies essentially haven't been providing the services that they're getting paid to provide, and so they're being overpaid. So I would not be surprised if we see payment cuts proposed again for calendar year 2025, but for calendar year 2024, there was a 0.8% increase in payments. And the last change to home health that was notable for 2024, or at least was included in the calendar year 2024 rule, is a change in quality measurement. Now, it's pretty normal that CMS updates quality measures every now and again. What is significant about these changes is that historically, at least until recently, CMS has continued to utilize what are called the M1800 items on the OASIS for determining outcomes and quality measures. So the M1800 items on the OASIS, which is the initial assessment, which we talk about in the membership in our Mastering OT Policy course, those items address ADLs like bathing, dressing, toileting, very similar to the items addressed in Section GG. So you still have to report Section GG in home health, but Section GG is not utilized to determine payment and previously has not been utilized to determine quality outcomes. So accurate scoring of Section GG has not been as important in home health as it has been in skilled nursing facilities or other settings. And if you have no idea what Section GG is all about, you just want to go and listen to episode 46. So CMS has finally made a step towards synchronizing home health reporting measures or quality measures with the measures of other settings like SNF, inpatient rehab, and LTAC to utilize Section GG. So starting for calendar year 2025, there will be new quality measures going into effect that utilize Section GG items for determining the quality outcomes and not M1800 items. And these will be new quality measures that will be utilized. There are some new ones both in the regular quality reporting program and some new ones in the value-based purchasing program. So from a therapy perspective, one of the main items that's being added is the functional discharge score, and that'll be effective in calendar year 2025. So don't be surprised if you work in home health and you're going to be receiving a lot of training on Section GG and how to score that on the OASIS that you have not previously received. Another change that's notable about the OASIS is that they removed item M220, which is therapy needs. And that is the item on the OASIS where you used to have to document the anticipated number of therapy visits. This has caused a lot of controversy and problems to an extent for therapy practitioners, because theoretically that item was supposed to be filled out by the nurse or whoever completed the Start of Care OASIS after speaking with the therapy practitioners who are supposed to establish the plan of care. But at times it has been filled out by, you know, the nurse or the PT or someone else, and then that has been utilized as establishing the plan of care, and then agencies have not allowed therapists to change that plan of care. And so I think there's pros and cons to removal of this item. It was at least some way to kind of track how many visits patients were getting from therapy that's reported in a more public way, or at least collected on claims data. But overall, this is the direction it needs to go. And honestly, the therapy needs item is a remnant from the old payment system where we used to get reimbursed based off of the quantity of therapy visits, which I talk about in the PDGM episode of the Amplify OT podcast a ways back, and also on the Amplify OT membership. But that item has been removed. So if you no longer see the M2220 or 2220 therapy needs item, that is why it has been officially removed from the OASIS. And last but not least about home health, the value-based purchasing model, There were two new measures that were created for the value-based purchasing model, which was a composite score of self-care and mobility items that was using basically various M1800 items to calculate the score for those. And it is being replaced with that discharge function score. So they're removing the two total normalized composite measures for self-care and mobility and replacing it with just the discharge functional score. And again, one of the big changes that is occurring with the discharge functional score is that it uses Section GG items and not M1800 items. So the fact that that quality measure is being utilized in value-based purchasing means that, in a way, the way that you score Section GG will influence payment, because based on value-based purchasing, you can either receive bonus payments or penalties depending on your outcomes as an agency. Okay, let's get back to Medicare Part B. So we've got a couple of kind of just basic updates, and then I'm saving the best one for in a minute as your reward for listening to this episode. So first and foremost, they've updated the KX modifier threshold. This is something they do every single year. It has been updated to 2,330 for physical and speech therapy combined and 2,330 for occupational therapy services, and that's in a calendar year. So once a patient reaches $2,330 of OT claims for a Medicare patient under Medicare Part B, then you have to start applying the KX modifier. The medical review threshold, that targeted threshold, is still at 3,000. So after 3,000, you are subject to potentially a targeted medical review. Not every claim over $3,000 gets reviewed. That's important to understand. But you just are potentially, it's not even really accurate to say you're potentially more at risk. It's just that they are paying attention to claims that go over 3,000, kind of looking for any inaccuracies. But it's always important to remember that you can be audited at any time for Medicare, regardless of whether or not that patient has received $20 worth of therapy or 10,000. Now, these next two changes we both expected and didn't expect. So we did expect that they would extend coverage of telehealth services, including for OT, PT, and speech, because that was required by the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2023. But what we did not expect is for CMS to extend the waiver allowing for general supervision of OTAs and PTAs in private practice settings. And they said that they extended this waiver in order to be consistent with telehealth. So that way, OTAs and PTAs would still be able to provide telehealth without a supervising OT or PT being directly in the room or on site, like you would have to be for direct supervision. But CMS also collected more information about the benefits of general supervision, or if there's any concerns around quality of care without direct supervision. And so they collected comments on that, and it at least shows that they're paying attention to this issue and are at least willing to hear feedback on how supervision requirements are impacting practice and access to care. So to kind of summarize real quick, if we do not see legislative action, and that can be a big if, we probably will see something by the end of the year in terms of telehealth. But if we do not see legislative action, so an action from Congress, telehealth access will expire for Medicare Part B for OT, PT, and speech and some other policies at the end of calendar year 2024. So meaning January 1st of 2025, if there is no legislation passed, telehealth coverage will end for therapy. And the waiver allowing general supervision for OTA and PTA in private practice will also expire at the end of calendar year, if we either don't see legislation from Congress or if CMS decides that it's not within their ability to change it, but it's hard to say, they may decide that it is within their regulatory ability to change that, which we'll find that out in the proposed rule for 2025. So long story short on payment on the supervision requirements and telehealth coverage is stay tuned. Good news is there's a lot of appetite for extending access to telehealth coverage in Congress. And they'll definitely be on a deadline because anything that doesn't pass before the new Congress has to be restarted. And they may want to hopefully try and pass something before election. So we'll see. Stay tuned. But always a reminder to contact your legislators. All right. To finish this podcast, I have two pieces of mostly good news. They're kind of wins without them being full wins. But you know what? We take it where we can get it. So if you remember at the beginning of this year, if you listened to the Medicare Physician Fee Schedule episodes, which I encourage you to do, for 2024, there was, you know, about a 3.4% cut in overall payments from the conversion factor, and this had a full impact on OTPT speech as well as other disciplines. And part of that is because of
funding expiring from Congress and some other budgetary issues. It's actually quite a complex process. But we have some good news. Congress finally took action and passed legislation to reduce the cut from about 3.1% to an average of about 1.42%. And that took effect March 9th. So claims after March 9th will have that new percentage. So you should see an increase in reimbursement in claims on March 9th and after compared to those at the beginning of the year. Unfortunately, this was not a retroactive benefit. It's generally not all that uncommon for them to pass legislation later in the year and have it be retroactive, meaning that it would be backdated to January 1st. They did not do that this time. There's probably a number of reasons. One, it's cost saving. Two, probably another main reason is just time. If you wanted to get that extra money, if it was retroactive to January 1st, you would have to resubmit all of those claims that are already processed just to get a little bit of extra money. So it's effective March 9th. And that means the new cut, instead of it being around 3.4%, is only about 1.42% when compared to 2023. So it's still a cut, but it's not as significant of a cut. So we take our wins where we can get them, right? And of course, we want to give credit where credit is due. So thank you so much to AOTA for advocating for this change, to our Federal Affairs team for working so hard. They have been sending letters and reaching out to members and legislators, asking them to pass this policy, explaining how it's damaging to the profession and to our patients. And this is definitely not the war is over. This is just a mere win of a side battle. And the fight continues on to try and get permanent reform for the Medicare fee schedule and also trying to see an increase in payment, hopefully in the future. But we shall see. And also don't be surprised if we see cuts again this fall. It is anticipated there will be more cuts to the conversion factor this fall, both again due to funding expiring as well as due to the implementation of some other payments that therapy unfortunately does not benefit from. So we don't receive the benefits from these other additions to the fee schedule like physicians might. So hopefully that was clear as mud. But the main thing to take away is that the payment cut has been reduced thanks to legislation passed by Congress, and that we still need to advocate for change and stay tuned for later this year when the Medicare physician fee schedule comes out. The proposed rule generally comes out in July-ish, and then the final rule generally comes out in November. So your last kind of partial win, which isn't really as exciting of a win now, is that Aetna had delayed the implementation of the OTA and PTA payment differential. So Aetna decided to copy Medicare's policy and implement an OTA and PTA payment differential. It was initially going to go into effect in December of 23, but thanks to advocacy efforts, it was delayed until March of 2024. So it is now in effect as of March 2024, meaning that services provided by OTAs and PTAs are reimbursed at 15% less than the same services that are provided by OTs and PTs under Aetna plans. So I will admit that that particular advocacy win definitely felt a lot better in December than it does now, currently in March. But it's always important to remember that just because something didn't work out the way we want it to, doesn't mean that it can't be changed in the future. This is just a battle, not the end of a war. Okay, the last thing I want to leave you with is an exciting announcement. You may have heard before, but if not, I am hosting a summit this summer. So it'll be the Amplify Therapy Summit. It'll be focused on occupational therapy, but my dream is for it to eventually grow into all three disciplines of PT, speech, and OT. And it'll be most likely end of July-ish. This is going to focus on policy and advocacy, predominantly with a focus on adult rehab, but I do hope to have potentially a couple sessions about engaging in advocacy in pediatrics or in school-based therapy. We'll see, depending on how many speakers or who I'm able to recruit. But it'll be towards the end of July. It'll be a virtual summit, and it'll have a combination of both live content as well as asynchronous content or recorded content. But the reason I'm bringing this up now is because to celebrate AOTA Inspire, also I was awarded the Gary Kilhoffner Emerging Leader Award this year by AOTA, and I'm so honored to receive that award, and I want to celebrate with all of you. And also because OT Month is coming up next month, overall there's just so many exciting things to celebrate, and I want to celebrate that with you by opening up signups for the Amplify Therapy Summit early. I originally wasn't planning to open the signups until probably end of May, early June, but to celebrate everything that's been going on, I'm opening up the signups early, and I'm going to be giving
my Amplifiers community, so all of you, access to an exclusive VIP ticket discount. So there will be both free registration for the summit as well as a VIP ticket. The free registration gets you access to a couple different things that are still in the works and also a couple of recorded sessions. The VIP access will get you access to all of the sessions, all of the live sessions, a exclusive VIP chat group where I hope to have the speakers in there. Myself will be in there. We'll be able to continue conversations because overall, the goal of this summit is to get together practitioners and leaders and have discussions around how reimbursement or different policies are impacting professions in the field who are seeing patients every day, communicating that information back to leaders who are implementing and creating these policies, and overall just trying to discuss and brainstorm how we can move this profession forward. And so I would love for you to be part of that conversation, and a VIP ticket is the way to do that. So if you want to get early access and exclusive discounts, then you want to sign up before the end of March. So before the end of March, I'll have both student and practitioner signups open. The main difference is price and CEs. Practitioners are going to get CEs. So you can sign up now and get about $75 off. So instead of the tickets being what I anticipate they will be, full price will be probably around $199. You can sign up today through the end of March for $125. And for students, it'll be $49 instead of $99. And then for April, the price will go up to $149. I want to say $149 or $150 in April. So sign up before the end of March if you want to get the additional $25 or so off, and then sign up before the end of April to get the special OT month discount if you didn't sign up in March. And then signups will close down again probably till around June 1st or so. But just kind of depends how long it takes me to get everything together and what speakers I'm able to recruit. So, and if you want to speak at the Amplify Therapy Summit, I have a survey in the show notes for you to fill out to let me know that you're interested, and we'll reach out and see what we can get figured out. I am so excited. There's so many things to celebrate, and stay tuned and I'll let you know more information and check out the links in the show note. Oh, to get the VIP tickets, head to learn.amplifyot.com/VIP. That link is in the show notes. Again, that's learn.amplifyot.com/VIP. And that's where you can register for both the student and the practitioner discounts. And if you're not quite ready to register yet for a VIP ticket, there's a link at the bottom to sign up for the waitlist to keep getting information. I think that's the updates I have for you all. There's always things that are changing, so make sure to stay tuned. And if you're going to Inspire, I hope you have a great time and I hope to see you there. And if not, then I hope you just have a fantastic week and a fantastic rest of your March and OT month. See you soon.
Thank you so much for listening to the Amplify OT podcast. Hey, did you know that I have a free newsletter? Yes, that is correct. In addition to the free podcast, the free articles, I also have a free newsletter, and you can subscribe using the link in the show notes. This way, you will never miss an update. If you love this podcast, I have two requests. First, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. And second, consider leaving a gift using the link in the show notes, so that I can continue to support this podcast and provide this resource for free. Consider it a gift to your future self. And if you don't love the podcast, well, I hope you just have a fantastic day and forget I said anything about that review. Okay, folks, keep speaking out and speaking often, and I'll catch you next time.